Appreciate that. Go Birds! Love it. From Jordan Mulata, enjoying the land down under and his new contract. You know, he's the kind of guy I think that we all as Eagles fans are very proud to have representing the Eagles. Good guy, yep. Good player. Now, would I like to see him be, you know, a little bit more dominant? Sure. But it's an incredible story. He's an above average player. It's been a hell of a journey, and you can tell he loves being an Eagle. Yeah. I mean, it's very obvious he loves the experience of being an NFL player and specifically a Philadelphia Eagle. All right, 215-592-9494. So a lot of people obviously excited with the selection of Quinyon Mitchell around here. One person not excited, maybe not around here. I'm not sure where he was last night. Micah Parsons. He weighed in with frustrations. What Parsons said, we'll get to that audio coming up in just a moment. Let's get a lot of calls in here as well. Gary in Whitehall right now. Hi, Gary.
Hey, good morning. Morning, team. How you doing?
Doing great, Gary.
Pretty excited today, Gary.
Very exciting. Hey, what a day in Philly. What a day in Philly. Let's go to the Sixers quick. Yes, Joel Embiid, put him on the back, took care of business, but let's not forget what Nick Nurse did. He sat Buddy Hield, literally, he only played for 3 minutes. And I think he saw the writing on the wall and sat him down. Now, too bad we can't do that with Tobias.
Well, they can minimize Tobias Moore, but it would sure help if De'Anthony Melton played. Oh, yeah. You know, because one of the things is, this is almost like the Kimbrell thing a little bit last year. Like, believe me, it's easy to say, don't play the guy. And I believe they shouldn't play Kimbrell. But you do have to have someone else to go to. And,
right.
You know, the fact that it's not like they have a ton of options is one of the reasons why Tobias Harris is still playing a lot.
Especially defensively.
Correct. Right. That's right.
It's unbelievable to me that Buddy Hield has fallen this far.
It's
almost like terror that he displays that he played with early on in this series. It was so bad. How could we not have anticipated it would look like this? I know he didn't have playoff experience, so I know it's impossible to really see it if he didn't do it. But my gosh.
And John, you know,
this must be so in his head more than anyone I've ever watched.
Well, and I was struck by in the Final Four in 2016 when he lost by close to 50 points to the Villanova kids.
Oh.
Literally. Now, I mean, it was Josh Hart and Brunson. It wasn't DiVincenzo, but he lost that game by about 50. Look, I'm not saying the guy's a loser and a bum, but he is shrinking.
He's
right
definitely
now.
Not a loser or a bum. 4 minutes is. I'm fine with him playing 4 minutes because he doesn't deserve more than 4 minutes because he's played that poorly. But the way he played during the regular season was such in stark opposition to this.
Well,
he was good.
He was pretty good there, especially initially. And I'll say, and Gary, good call. The other thing that's frustrating with the Buddy Hield thing is, to Gary's point initially about Tobias Harris, you literally would have an option to replace Tobias Harris if you had Mars, who they traded for Hield.
Yeah.
That's literally the guy you would play. You would play Morris and Batum, and then you could maybe.
And you know exactly what kind of game you're getting from Morris.
Exactly.
He's going to be in everyone's face. He's going to
be
tough. You want someone to box out. He's your guy. Yeah.
All right, someone who's tough but very frustrated is the Dallas Cowboys star defender, Micah Parsons. This has become an annual tradition. The Eagles pick someone. You know, Devin, you've brought this up before, and I agree with you. I think he's not only jealous of the Eagles, I think he might want to play here someday.
He absolutely wants to be an Eagle, and it's proven year after year. It's my favorite tradition now on draft day, making Micah Parsons sad.
Think about how jealous he must be now.
Don't you think it validates the pick
this offseason?
If he's getting that upset, to me, as soon as I saw that, I'm like, okay, so they picked the right guy. They took the right guy.
That's
if Micah Parsons
point.
Is that shook.
No. Right. I mean, he is a bit shook. So let's listen to Micah Parsons. This is after the Eagles select Quinyon Mitchell last night. They stick at 22. They don't have to move up. All the cornerbacks come to them. Howie gets his pick of the litter. He chooses Quinyon Mitchell, and Micah Parsons right afterwards reacts. Here's what he said.
Micah, how you feeling?
I mean, I'm honestly utterly disgusted on how lucky the Eagles are. It's just like Chris, I do not know how he fell that far with this run of offensive tackles and quarterbacks. That's the only thing that makes sense. I thought he was a top 15, top 12 talent, and he just fell right into their laps.
And he was your favorite player?
He was definitely one of my more favorite players in this draft. Like I said, he rose in every bar. He hit every Like he checked every box. I think this is a great pick. I mean, I think this is a terrific pick, man. I don't know how Howie and them get so lucky. That's how I'm gonna put it.
Isn't that great?
It is so awesome.
Yeah. And it's so true. The value is incredible. The value is sky high. When you think about we wanted a tackle or a cornerback. We would have taken the seventh best tackle had we chosen at 22.
Right.
There were six tackles taken already. No one took a cornerback, and this guy was the top cornerback on a lot of people's lists. And the only thing that was knocking him, the only thing that the detractors had to use against him was look at the level of competition. And then people who supported him would say, 40 straight starts. He's got the toughness. Just watch the film. And then people would say, the film is against lesser competition. It doesn't matter. Then the Senior Bowl happened, and he went out there against the best of the best, and he schooled every receiver who tried to catch a pass on him all week long.
215-592-9494. You know, one other thing on that Parsons thing, because obviously Quinyon Mitchell's the main deal, but I will tell you, if I'm the Cowboys, I get frustrated with Parsons and stuff like this. Like, there's a way to pump a guy up and say, hey, good pick by that team.
Right.
I mean, when you say utterly disgusted, it makes me wonder – how behind the scenes difficult are you? Because that's a strong phrase.
Well, imagine if the tables were turned and like Darius Slay was saying that about the Cowboys, we'd be furious with him.
Totally. It would be unacceptable, frankly.
For sure.
It would be flat out unacceptable. 215-592-9494. All right, what Howie said last night, the late night press conference on not trading up, what Howie said, we'll get to that, plus Sirianni on the relationship with the head coach at Toledo, who, you know, was obviously Quinyon Mitchell's coach. We'll get to that and more. The A.J. Brown storyline. Joel on his takedown of Mitchell Robinson, which really impacted the game and could have gone completely the other way if he had been thrown out of that game. We'll get to that and more. It's a great day because so much broke so good yesterday for Philly sports. All your calls and all these topics from Borgata today on 94 WIP.
I've been working with my good friends at Lexus of Cherry Hill for almost a decade now. Just renewed my lease on the RX350. There's a lot of good reasons why, but the number one, the great people there, the service you'll receive when you enter the dealership. 2024 Lexus models, they're in, they're moving fast, and the all-new 2024 Lexus GX will be arriving soon. Lexus of Cherry Hill, now a six-time J.D. Power Dealer of Excellence winner for the customer sales experience. You will see the Lexus of Cherry Hill difference when you stop in. Go see Tony Labella, his tremendous team. They'll help guide you to the Lexus of your dreams, and they've got over 300 new and pre-owned vehicles in stock. Another thing I really love about Lexus of Cherry Hill, they are a veteran-owned and operated business. Face it, you deserve a Lexus, and you...
Oh, it was a night. Maybe not the way this song was designed, but oh, what a night. That was really bad. That was really bad. I'm sorry. Quite a day in Philadelphia sports. I mean, it starts with a Phillies win. Then you get an A.J. Brown contract. Then you get before I say the Sixers win, then you get the draft board for the Eagles starting to look like it's opening up in a good way for the Eagles. Then you get the actual Sixers win, like the game is completed. Then about a half hour later, you get the Eagles pick, which, by the way, also was just really nice for all of us as Philadelphia sports fans that we didn't have an Eagles pick at the same time that the game was coming down the stretch. And then when the Eagles make that pick, they have their pick of the litter at cornerback. And, of course, you know, we can debate which one they should have chosen, and that's part of the conversation. I mean, it is not impossible that Howie Roseman chose the wrong one. I know, you know, John, you were a big fan of Terry and Arnold as well. But in the end, the Eagles certainly got a player a lot of people coveted. So, hell of a day, really was. John, let's just deal with the Terry and Arnold reality as it relates to Quinyon Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
Which would you have picked?
Well, I would have picked Terry and Arnold because I thought that Quinyon Mitchell was off the board. For our intents and purposes, I thought at 22, likely.
If both are on the board, who are you taking?
I'm taking the top cornerback, which is Quinyon Mitchell.
Then there you go. Good man.
He was a top 10 player in my mind. You know, like all those mocks had him going to a team in the single digits. I thought he was gone. I didn't even really think he was an option. You know, he was up there, but I expected him to be long gone. I expected him to be gone at around 7, which is where things started getting weird.
Yeah, it did get weird there. Yeah.
Where the Titans surprised me. The Falcons
shocked me.
That's one of the bigger shocks.
Shocked everyone, yeah.
And things got sort of thrown off, and we took full advantage, Joe. There were six offensive tackles taken in the first round before we even picked.
Yeah.
So we could have taken the seventh best offensive tackle, or you take your favorite cornerback, the best cornerback, the cornerback you like the most out of this entire class, number one, the guy who was, in my mind, supposed to go in the single digits of this draft, and you got him at 22 without having to sacrifice anything, trade up, do any of that stuff. It was miraculous.
Now, for what it's worth, and make of it what you will, you know, John's referencing of number one for Quinyon Mitchell. Well, Mel Kiper ranked Cooper DeJean number one at corner, and Daniel Jeremiah ranked Terrion Arnold number one at corner. So, now look, these guys are all considered pretty comparable. But for what it's worth, you know, Howie thought different. John thought different. Howie went with John's thinking and, you know, obviously what was his thinking. All right, 215-592-9494. We got a lot of audio this segment to play from a lot of what happened last night, including the late-night press conferences, you know, after it all was said and done. One other thing I got to say, I got to give a big thank you to a Knicks player who clearly doesn't want to win enough. And that is OG Anunoby. He's a good player, did a lot of good things out there for the New York Knicks, but there were two moments last night that told me he's not Bobby Clark, who one time in the 1970s, you know, went after the ankle of a Soviet guy
yes.
and then with the 72 Summit Series and knocked that guy out and helped that Team Canada win. All right, so two moments with OG Anunoby I thought that stood out. The one that everyone noticed, obviously, was the second of the two, which was when he doesn't come down full force on Tyrese Maxey's ankle, which really could have been a major problem, okay? He kind of
was considerate.
Right?
You're right.
He lifted himself up, but he did something in the first half people might not have noticed. During the fracas, whatever the word is, the mini melee when things started going, all hell was breaking loose there, and I did think Joel got kind of lucky not being thrown out of that game. All right, I'm going to put that right on out there. I understand why the NBA didn't throw him out. You know, it's a playoff game. But, man, oh, man, I mean, I think it could have been a justified ejection. But anyway, Joel survives it. But prior to when, you know, there's some pushing and shoving going on, you got OG Anunoby goes up to Joel as a peacemaker. And I'm going back to the days of Pat Riley 30 years ago at the Knicks in the 1990s, and I'm thinking, holy hell, Pat Riley would kill that guy. Because all OG Anunoby had to do was a little bit more instigation. He could have gotten, like, another T from Joel. Like, he could have done something to even if you got to do a trade-off. All right, me for you? All right, no problem. But he was like peacemaker. All right, thank you. Thank you, OG Anunoby. I appreciate it. All right, a lot to react to from last night. Let's go to the phones. Joe in Mayfair. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Joseph. Good morning, everybody.
Hey, buddy.
Good morning. I'm here. Well, last night the Sixers did a lot less dribbling, and that's why Embiid was a lot fresher later in the fourth quarter. Payne was in there handling the ball. You had a lot more ball handlers last night and a lot less dribbling. Maxey dribbled it. Payne dribbled it. But they did a lot more passing without dribbling in the half-court offense, which doesn't allow the Knicks to get into a set defense. So the quicker you move the ball, the better open looks you're going to get. You get the ball, you shoot. They have less chance of also getting rebounds as well. So I looked at last night's game as a positive because there was a lot less one-on-one dribbling, trying to do too much, and just getting the ball and shooting in open spots. And you saw what happened last night. They had a lot more open looks, and Embiid was not as tired because less is more with him. He got the ball, was decisive, and shot the ball. And when you do that, you're less tired. So kudos to them last night. I still think they're going to win the series. I want to see this more often. It was nice to see him not mentally soft last night.
That's right.
Hopefully he can build on that. But let's get to this Eagles draft. And it's about time we got a lockdown corner like Eric Allen, who's got speed, who's physical, who can play all elements of the corner. I hope they can get him into make him a punt returner because he's got great hands. But you got to compliment that today, guys. And I watch a lot of college football, and Jaden Hicks reminds me a lot of Brian Branch, who he missed last year, and Kyle Hamilton the year before that. I'm sorry, Kyle Hamilton last year, who was a beast.
Yep.
This Jaden Hicks guy for Washington State is going to be probably the first safety drafted in the mid-40s. If you can get him an athletic, taller safety who's physical, who can be a ball hawk, who can complement that. He's very intelligent. We haven't had a high Q quick safety. I mean, Jenkins wasn't quick. He was smart. He had Dawkins at the end of his career. We haven't had CJ. GJ is not really quick. We need someone who's quick back there who can, when a receiver goes deep, you can actually get
there. Look, Rodney McLeod filled that role really well for years. And I agree.
Okay,
look, I
don't, Joe.
Look, Joe, you know.
He wasn't a ball hawk.
He was pretty darn good, though. But look, you know my opinion. I don't think Reed Blankenship should start. So, you know, you're going to get absolutely no objection from me whatsoever if the Eagles take a safety in the second or third round with the intention of him starting. Now, this also comes back to the dude from last year. What's that guy's name, John?
Sidney Jones?
Sidney Brown.
Sidney Brown.
Oh, yeah. Sidney Brown. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Sidney
wow.
Jones. Every time I hear that, I think of Conklin. You know, Sidney Brown, I mean, he's a human missile, but I don't think he's a cover guy. So, but look, they got to assess that, and obviously that'll play into, you know, how they attack it. Let's be real. They got other areas of need. I mean, one of which, look, I didn't want a first-round wide receiver, but let's not act like a wide receiver second, third, or fourth rounds off the board. I mean, they are deficient at the third wide receiver.
Well, Paris Campbell right now in their slot. You got Devontae Parker, who has been – look, I don't like either of these guys as the guy moving forward, but you got a lot of guys that they've brought in to try to be the slot guy, and I'm not sold on any of them. I would like to take a shot for on a cheap, young, talented – fast, you know, burn the top off of everything because you run a 4.28 in the 40.
Right.
That's the kind of guy that I think they're looking for.
But
that,
I will say
that's what they said all the time with Quez.
Right.
Hey, he can take the top off of everything, so they must be looking for that to some degree.
Yeah, the issue, though, when we talk about wide receiver is you might need a starting guard. You might need a starting guard. You definitely need another interior defensive tackle.
The receiver thing, we talked about it yesterday. The best ones around, it's not all Justin Jefferson first round, like we should have taken him in the first round. It's like Puka Nacua was a fifth-round draft pick. Cooper Kupp was a third-round draft pick. Tyreek Hill was a fifth-round draft pick. You look around, Stephon Diggs, second round. Like, it's not the first-rounders that always hit. It feels more often like you find a special guy. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter exactly where he's taken. They all were, they slid because they were perceived to have some major flaw. And those flaws end up not being a big deal, or they fix them and they're great to go.
215-592-9494. All right, coming up here in 1 minute. 1 minute's time. The reaction right after the pick of both ESPN's group and the NFL Network's group. What they said as soon as the Eagles made the Quinyon Mitchell pick, we'll get to that in 1 minute's time.
Big news about my friends at the Busch Auto Group. With two Nissan dealerships in Exton and Limerick, they're your top destination for any new Nissan or pre-owned vehicle. Right now, save up to $4,000 on 23 Nissan Rogues, or take advantage of rates as low as 0% on select 24 Nissan Pathfinders. I've been there myself, and it's a fantastic experience. Visit them in-store or online today at BushAutoGroup.com. And when you go, tell them John Ritchie sent you.
All right, so here's the breakdown from ESPN as it happened in the moment. Quinyon Mitchell gets picked, and then it's, all right, instant reaction, analysis. Let's start ESPN and what they said as soon as the Eagles made the pick.
I don't care if he came from a smaller school, you know, not a, you know, traditional powerhouse school. He is a schooled player and a great person. I have to reemphasize that. Jason Candle, his head coach, said, you are getting an absolute stud of a person, which is one of the most important things that determines success.
Yeah, you're getting somebody that can set the tone for your defense, somebody that's going to show up and do things the right way. And we talk about at a small school. Has he gone against the big-time talent? Has he been across the line of scrimmage from a Marvin Harrison Jr., from some of the other players? He showed that against in the game against Ohio State, and he showed that at the Senior Bowl when he went down there and went against every receiver from a Power 5 school. It didn't matter. One-on-one drills, he put on a show. I was watching it on the television, and you're like, man, this kid is jumping off the screen. It didn't matter. Winning every route, the ability to mirror, to play man, the man turn, the zone turn, he can do it all. And when you start the process, you got to finish it off. He went to the combine and finished it off running 4.33. So someone who did things the right way, and it just shows everybody out there, it doesn't matter what school you go to. If you perform and you do things the right way and you follow the process and you follow every step, you too can be a first-round pick. Good on Jason Campbell, the head coach at Toledo, and good on Quinyon Mitchell.
All right, big praise right there from Lewis Riddick and Booger McFarland, and I thought their coverage was excellent. Let's get to the NFL Network and their coverage. Of course, a lot of people on their panel as well, including Daniel Jeremiah and Charles Davis. Let's listen to how they reacted in the moment.
Well, they got there the corner that they wanted in Quinyon Mitchell. And I mentioned earlier, guys that go through the whole process and ace every part of it. Fall season, check. Senior Bowl, check. Combine, check. Interviews with teams, check. Straight-A student here in Quinyon Mitchell, guys.
And think about this. You mentioned loyalty. I think you mentioned it as well, Joel.
Yes.
Different guys staying, right? DJ, you pointed out that Quinyon Mitchell had the chance NIL to go play Power 5 and make big money. Stayed. One other little small detail, he wore number 27 at Toledo. He wanted to get to a single digit like so many guys do, and he earned his way to a single digit. His grandmother said, son, if 27 was good enough to make you play the way you did before, 27 is good enough for you now. He kept 27. No NIL money, kept the number he didn't want to keep, stayed at Toledo, and turned into one of the top draft picks in the NFL this year. Speed to burn, and you mentioned the strength, Joel. He's got it all.
All right, again, that was the NFL Network last night. Quinyon Mitchell at pick 22. Howie's assessment of sticking at 22. We'll get to that shortly. Also, what Joel said after the game about the Mitchell takedown. By the way, John, and also the Mitchell takedown had an effect. I mean, the guy had ultimately had an injured ankle and couldn't finish the game. Mitchell Robinson. I mean, you know, that, like,
wow.
He could be out.
Like, he
missed 50 games with it this year.
Yeah, I would be. If I'm a Knicks fan, not only was Joel not only is he not tossed, he contributed to injuring my guy.
Really? He grabbed the leg.
I don't know the exact moment that was the biggest moment, but I would think that could have contributed to it.
Maybe.
I mean, ultimately,
just maybe
couldn't finish the game.
Just maybe.
All right, let's get to today's Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, Armin, your Corvette headquarters. Visit ArminChevy.com to see Armin's selection of new and pre-owned Corvettes. Together, let's drive. Three different poll questions. Which corner did you think the Eagles should have taken when all those guys were on the board? Terry and Arnold, Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, or Nate Wiggins? Put another way, do you like how we selected Quinyon Mitchell instead of the others? Second poll question, do you think Embiid should have been ejected for pulling down Mitchell Robinson in that moment, yes or no? And the third poll question, as we continue to reassess game by game, now who do you think wins the Sixers next series, Sixers or Knicks? What Joel said about that moment, we'll get to that in a moment. Let's not let the focus on that moment obscure this reality. Joel Embiid was phenomenal last night. Phenomenal. Probably the best playoff game he's played. Look, I can't remember them all offhand. We know, obviously, it was the highest scoring playoff game he's ever had. We know their backs were very much up against the wall last night. We know he came out assertive from the jump and maintained it through the end. And that's what's key. That's very key.
He did it the whole game.
The whole game.
He talked about it. He said, we're going to go out there. We're going to do this. Yeah. He made good on that.
Now, you do want to see him control his emotions a little more. I have long believed the teams could go after Joel and provoke him into something. We saw that moment with him and Karl Anthony Towns 4 or 5 years ago.
And like, don't think it's going to go away.
Correct.
Don't think it's going to go away, games 4 or 5. Like, they are coming to mess with Joel now.
They're
going to try to get him booted.
Rhea, you know what John Chaney would do in this moment.
Oh, what?
Send in a goon.
Yes.
Remember that line? I'm going to send in a goon.
He was, he's my all-time fan. I named my dog after him. I mean, he just had a presence about him. You were afraid of him.
Yeah, no, I mean, he was phenomenal. I love Chaney. So, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, and that was, of course, the moment, you know, back was, and that was an ugly moment. It was not good as St. Joe's player got injured. But the point is, I thought Embiid was in what I'll refer to as a vulnerable state emotionally for a couple minutes there last night. And I thought the Sixers were very fortunate to get out of that without a Knicks player further provoking him to the point where Embiid could have gotten ejected.
No, what those officials did at the end of game 2 led to what happened last night,
yeah,
and
correct.
they couldn't do it.
I think that's exactly right. And they will not suspend him, correct?
I don't think so.
I don't either. I'll tell you this.
Well, okay,
there's an argument that they could,
sure,
particularly with that guy being injured.
Yep.
But I don't think they will. And I think the Knicks people are going to be crying and crying and crying for the
next. You mean like the Sixers fans were crying after the game?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they, you know, you reap what you sow, NBA, by screwing the Sixers so bad.
But I'll take it because, frankly, yes, like, we deserve it after the debacle at the end of game 2. I mean, it is what it is. Let's go to Patrick in Tabernacle. Hi, Pat.
Morning, everybody. How are we doing?
Great, Pat.
Hey, John Richards, like I said, yesterday was Christmas. You know, we got ourselves woke up. Got ourselves a cornerback.
That's incredible.
It is.
The
you know,
pick of the entire draft. You want a cornerback? Okay, take whichever one you want.
By the way, Patrick, sure. Yesterday was Christmas, New Year's Eve, and the 4th of July all rolled into one for A.J. Brown. Holy mackerel with that contract.
How about it?
Yeah.
Sure.
Good for
Back
him, man. Good for him.
Yeah. So, it's crazy because, like, I was waiting for Howie to do something, and quarterback's coming off the board. I'm like, wait a minute. This is really crazy. And that's, you know, the draft has really become such a spectacle. But it's just, I'm happy, man. I'm happy. It doesn't mean we're going to the Super Bowl yet.
No.
But, boy, you know, we need some help defensively, man. We're, you know, I think we're good on the offensive side. You know, a lack of defense is has to be addressed. So we
well,
did
Patrick,
that.
A lot of this goes back to two seasons ago when they lost five starters after getting to the Super Bowl and then the aging process of Slay and Bradberry. The combination of those two things, not to mention – you know, it's not like Jordan Davis and Nolan Smith have exactly, you know, impressed us yet much at all.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. I mean, I wanted to I still want to focus. I know I referenced wide receiver a couple of minutes ago. I still want them to, you know, stick heavy on defense.
I was surprised at how we went defense because of last year, you know.
Meaning but what?
I mean, look, he's not going to come out and say, boy, man, I think I missed Jordan Davis. You know, we don't
hear. Yeah, but he didn't pick
that.
A D-tackle.
Well, I understand that. Yeah, you're right. But you know what? The other thing I got out of yesterday is last night is, you know, how would you like to be a Falcon fan and some of these other franchises, man? It makes us look, you know, Howie takes a lot of heat, man, sometimes. But you know what? You know, look around the NFL and see some of the moves that were taking place and you wonder and why
look the Falcons have to move off Kirk Cousins after 1 year. They have to.
Oh, Kirk Cousins supposedly
well,
according to The Athletic was stunned by what they did.
As he should be.
Yeah, and they never his agent said they never gave him a heads up.
So James, you're
it
saying
really is unbelievable.
Yeah, his first 2 years are fully totally guaranteed.
Oh,
so they would have to like it's like a you know $40 million loss. Like there it will be 2 years before Penix plays unless Cousins get hurt.
That's gonna be really awkward.
And he'll be 28 then, right?
Correct.
Penix is that old?
He's 26.
He's that old,
yeah.
And he's also like had all these injuries. It's a wild, wild, wild pick.
That's incredible. Let's listen to Nick Sirianni. You know, if you don't know, he's got a relationship with Toledo's coach, who was the coach of Quinyon Mitchell the last couple of years. Sirianni talked, and I'm sure a lot of people did not see the press conference or listen to it, as it was obviously very late night after the draft was over. But Howie and Sirianni talked. We'll continue to roll in some audio through the show. Here's Sirianni discussing, you know, the relationship and the reality of intel that you can get, you know, when you know people. Here's Sirianni last night.
How valuable were those connections in the building for you? What kind of things did you learn about?
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, you get the information on guys. You know, Howie and his staff do, you know, they have all these connections everywhere. They get the great information on guys. You know, just was able to get, you know, some of the information there, obviously, with my ties there. You know, and really, I guess at the end of the day, with how good of a player he was, the thing that always kept coming up is how good of a person, how good of a teammate, how hard of a worker, how competitive.
You know, look, these guys aren't going to go into the nth degree of exactly why they chose one guy or the other. But one thing that stood out last night clearly in that press conference was praise of the player they took. You don't really get why not the other guy, but you do get a lot of praise. And I'd say this, as both an Eagles fan and a Philadelphian, I appreciate that the Eagles put a priority on who the person is. Now, in the end, like,
yes.
If I had a chance to have Lawrence Taylor on my team,
yeah.
And he's all coked up, would I want Lawrence Taylor? Like, yeah, I would.
I'd
want Lawrence Taylor on my team.
Yeah.
But the reality is, I do think, John, you can speak to this way more than any of us because you've been in a locker room. I think character matters not only on how you represent your franchise, but when the going gets tough, do you have that dig down thing? That's a big part of character, is fighting through adversity.
Yeah, and part of the problem is we didn't display last year.
Yeah, right.
We're doing all this stuff to build character. We're going above and beyond where we're drawing connections to college programs and family, friends, and we're going all in with this concept of connectedness. Yet last year, 7 games, they looked everything but
connected.
I don't understand how it got so far from
the goal.
Not so. I mean, everything that happened last year is still perplexing.
I agree with the process. Yeah. I like the idea. Let's keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
But, man, we can't let it get where it went.
I think it also says something about the relationship with Nick Sirianni, which I think a lot of us thought he was in danger, you know, of being fired. The fact that they drew so heavily on his connections with that kid kind of makes me rethink just a few things. That maybe Sirianni wasn't the problem, like you think that there was something going on in the locker room. So I just thought the fact that Howie trusted Nick's connections and intel on this kid to make him the number one pick kind of says something about what they think of Sirianni.
So I'll give a maybe on that, because here's the flip side of that. This is where, if not higher, he was supposed to go.
Yeah.
I mean, he's empirically a quality football player. I mean, now, in the end, they had, I mean, I think we think, the choice of a couple of quality football players. This is the one they chose. By the way, why they chose him, Howie was pretty nondescript in his answer on that. But Howie was very descriptive last night in discussing not trading up. Let's listen to Howie Roseman last night, because, you know, we all were – I mean, I had a friend text me, oh, boy, I guess around pick 15 or so. And he's like, all right, this is it. This is where Howie's got to trade up. And in the end, like, he clearly didn't for what he thought was the best corner, because all the corners were available. Let's listen to Howie Roseman last night discussing not trading up, how tempting it is, and why he did not.
It's not normally in my nature to do that, you know, so I understand that. I think that the only reason that we felt comfortable was because the scenarios played out in a way that we were comfortable we were going to get a really good player at that pick, just based on how the board was going. You know, the way we do it is, you know, if we're at pick 15, we got to have as many players that we like. When they start to fall off and we get in a spot where we don't have as many players as our pick, we start looking to move up. So if we're at 15 and we only have three players left that have first round grades, it's a concern, you know, so you try to move up. When you're there, and Rube, why don't you do the math for me? How many players do we have to go before 15? 15, 16, 17. Eighth player. We get the eighth player, right? We get the eighth player. So when we're there and we see we have eight players, and then 16 at seven, and so on, then we know we have a preference on that. But if they're all having the same grades, then we feel good sitting. So I think for us, it's like as long as we're in the same tier of grade in that round, so we're sitting there and we still have a first-round grade on seven guys or eight guys at that point, we feel comfortable sitting. If we get to a low number, then we try to move up. If we get over that number, we move back.
You know, that last point, so I thought first of all, it was a very thorough explanation by Howie, more than you usually get. That last point struck me in the moment, meaning when the Eagles were on the clock, but before you saw the announcement that they turned their pick in, I was wondering if they were going to trade back. I mean, you literally
trying to get that third round pick.
Get whatever you get. I mean, you know, you have every single cornerback on the board. Now, obviously, they valued this guy enough, more so than the others, that they chose not to trade back. But it did strike me as a distinct possibility when literally every cornerback that was available at the start of the draft is still available. You know, you go back two, three, four picks. I mean, you're going to get one of them. You might pick up whatever
you'd
pick
up a lot. But you also need someone else who's willing.
You do need that. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. All right, let's go to the phone. So you can react to everything that went down last night, including, you know, a fairly heralded, let's call it, Eagles night, where some stuff broke their way. In the end, the Eagles got certainly what I wanted, which was primarily a defensive player. Number two, a cornerback was certainly a major spot of need. Howie had, you know, specifically said that last night, which was an admission I was a little surprised he put out there. But, I mean, I think it was entirely obvious. You know, Elliott had a great point during the – because, you know, there was a lot of talk amongst some of the national analysts in the last 2 days that the Eagles had moved off corner. Now, we'll never truly know. I mean, maybe if some of these offensive linemen were there.
Yeah, maybe they did.
Maybe they would have taken an offensive lineman. Maybe.
They were gone, man. We would have taken the seventh best
maybe
tackle.
But I will tell you this. You know, Elliott had a great point in the what do you call it? The draft show. I was going to say the pregame show. The draft show last night. He's like, wait a minute. He's like, you're telling me a team that finished, I think it was last. I think he said last in pass defense last year.
Mm-hmm.
Basically bringing back, as of now, all the same cornerbacks. He's like, you're telling me they're not going to draft a cornerback? they finished last. So, you know, I think it made an awful lot of sense. 215-592-9494. All right, so you can react to the Eagles draft. Of course, day two, we'll do some look ahead to day two of the draft later on in the program. Also, a huge Sixers win last night. Pretty comfortable in the end. Close for a while. Sixers obviously outdistanced and outclassed the Knicks in the fourth quarter. Joel was tremendous. Maxey was outstanding as well. Now, look, Brunson brought it. But you didn't get quite as much from some of those Knicks role players that you had in the first couple of games. And obviously, campaign really stepped up last night. Let's go to Mike in Douglasville. You can react to all this, including the A.J. Brown contract. Good morning, Michael.
Oh, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Mike.
Yeah, so let's work through this thing one at a time. Phil's Wheeler dealing the way he does looked awesome, minus that one inning where he threw like 35, 36 pitches, whatever it was. But awesome win by them. Bryce Harper made me some money. First game back after having a baby, threw $10 down on an anytime home run. He delivered. Appreciate
Mike,
it.
Why isn't the baby's first name Harper?
Harper.
Would you like that?
So he doesn't have that here. You rip him for years on WIP about what a bad name it is.
Wait, hold on. I completely missed
this. I'm just joking. How about Philly Harper?
Philly Harper, I'll take it. I like it.
That would be the ultimate pandering move.
Yes.
She's a Philly. All right, go ahead, Mike.
A.J. Brown signed for another three, so we got him, what, 2029 now? All these people that are talking about trading him and he's a cancer.
Yeah, but now the question is, are they locked into Jalen or not?
No, come on.
I'm just telling you, it's the first thing that went through my head, man.
You cannot put a damper on this. Come on, man. We got A.J. Brown for like 5 years now. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not unhappy they signed A.J. Brown at all. I'm just simply wondering, Mike, if there's an issue between AJ and Jalen, and they give AJ that contract,
well, we don't know that there's an issue between
James.
There was no issue between them. He said
I don't believe it, James. I don't believe it. Ready? How about that? I don't believe it's true.
They got 5 years to work it out. I don't.
Well,
care.
Or they might have 1 year to work it out.
No, they got 5 years to work it out. These three, Devontae Smith,
AJ ain't going anywhere. That's obvious.
Hurts are going to just run the table for the next 5 years.
We'll see.
Excellent job by the Sixers. Embiid finally showing up in a freaking playoff game in the fourth quarter. Happy to see it. Still don't think we're going to pull it out, but I'm open to it. And then, of course, finally, we can shut down this stupid nonsense of drafting a freaking offensive lineman in the first round. We got a defensive back, and not only one did we get a defensive back, we got the top guy. I'll be honest with you. I did almost no homework on this dude because I had zero anticipation of him being there past 10. And looking back, I made a complete mistake. I mean, this dude is going to ball out. Get James Bradbury the hell up out of here, and let's get this thing going.
All right, Mike, good phone call right there. John, is there a player that Quinyon Mitchell reminds you of?
No, because he does have a burlier look to him than most cornerbacks do. And, you know, it's a weird number, number 27. I'm not, you know, sometimes it just doesn't, it surprises your eye. You know, 27... strange. He is bigger and wider with like bigger legs, I guess, than a lot of cornerbacks. Looks a lot like A.J. Brown has a more of a running back build than a wide receiver build, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do.
And I think this guy's kind of similar. Has more of a running back build than a cornerback build in a good way. You know, he's strong. And he's square, yet
he apparently can squat 500 pounds,
which is pretty good.
The Eagles can squat a building at this point.
You know who was strong? Darrell Revis was strong.
You're right. And that's why he was so good, because he could manhandle everyone in man-to-man coverage.
Yep.
This is a player who he's got, man, unbelievable speed to burn. That's the biggest difference between Terrion Arnold and Quinyon Mitchell. That one's a 4.5, this guy's a 4.3.
Yeah.
That's a luxury. That's speed to burn. That's makeup speed. If he does make a mistake here and there early on, because he just, you know, not sure on his assignment, he'll be able to make it up.
Hey, no beat to hammer today. Obviously, we almost always do it on a Friday at this time, but Seltzer making the decision too much. What's the deal, James? Too much going on in Philly sports to be messing around with a trivia game?
Yeah, yeah. We had one of the great nights. Like, last night was a reinfusion of happiness in my sports soul last night. We need to react to it.
Now, I have a theory that you're just trying to prevent me from getting to 250 as quick as I otherwise would have.
No, I think the better theory
because
is
I'm coming in quick here, 250. I mean, 250 is a big number, and I do expect the station. Let me just say this. I deserve something.
Oh, happy birthday, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
I already said it, so I'm not going to say it again.
Yeah.
Good job.
I felt like it was my turn, and I didn't want people to think I was being mean.
It's all right. Yeah, all good. I'm just saying, I in a couple weeks, when I get to 250, and right now I'm at 247, I look forward to what the powers that be at WIP will do to honor me with such an accomplishment. Let's go to the phones.
Keep looking.
Yeah, I know.
They do, Joe, every 2 weeks.
That's true.
Good point, Rhea. Right, well said,
Let's get to Zach in Medford. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning. Happy birthday, Analog.
Thank you, pal.
I'm convinced I have an idea of the conversation between Howie and the new coordinators. He told them that this offseason is a candy store and to go nuts.
And what does that mean?
It feels that way. We are going out and grabbing a bunch of delicious candies, a bunch of amazing treats that are going to make our team a lot better. I love the way it feels. It feels like a shopping spree bonanza that we just keep adding.
Richie's on it. So I know you guys said you're going to discuss this later, but I kind of wanted to get your opinion.
Sure.
We've got pick 50 and 53 going into the second round. I'm thinking safety and linebacker are the next 2 points of interest. I wanted to get an idea of what you guys thought, and I'll hang up. Thank you very much. And have
you
good
got
weekend.
It, buddy. Appreciate that, Zach. So obviously it matters who's there in the moment. I mean, I think, you know, basically the same positions we discussed leading up to the draft all still apply, including maybe corner, although much less so. Safety, defensive tackle, guard slash offensive tackle. I'll still be surprised if they go linebacker, but it's not inconceivable. I mean, you do have Devin White. I mean, you'd like to keep him beyond this 1 year if he plays well. You don't know, one, if he'll play well, two, if you'll be able to keep him if he does.
You gotta remember, like, those linebackers, those off-ball linebackers, you're going to be getting a lot of bang for your buck. You want to be at the front end. If you're going linebacker, get the top one or two, number six or seven. You know, like we did with Quinyon Mitchell. We got the best cornerback. Let's not wait until seven of them are off the board.
Well, hold on. I mean, yeah, you want the best at every position, but you only get to pick one the next time you pick. One player. One position.
And there are some exciting off-ball linebackers. If they are planning to go off-ball linebacker, which they normally are not, I do think it needs to be more of a consideration this year because of the changes in offense, because of the RPO everything. You need linebackers who can adjust on the fly
and be
more athletic and run better.
I'll say this. I certainly expect that they will take a defensive lineman and an offensive lineman before a linebacker. Whether it's right or wrong, that's my expectation. I mean, really, the chances
it's
a second-round linebacker.
Their comfort zone is going to be offensive line or defensive line. I think defensive line is certainly something you shouldn't look past.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, if you look at the Eagles' current depth chart, they're pretty thin on offensive line. So now that they've taken the cornerback, I'm pro offensive lineman in the second round or a later round.
I mean, if they don't believe in Tyler Steen, then they need a starting guard.
Right.
Now, maybe they believe in Tyler Steen. I mean, we don't know. They're not going to tip their hand and tell us publicly, but they either believe in the guy or don't. I guess we'll find out, you know, between probably tonight's action. Because tonight is the second and third round. Tonight will probably be an indicator of whether they believe in Tyler Steen. If they don't draft an offensive lineman to start at guard, they probably believe in Steen.
And I thought Tyler Steen last year in the preseason looked like he was a good run blocker and a guy who would, like most offensive linemen, need some pass protection work, but that's sort of par for the course. Tons of opportunity. The blitz pickup, it's new for everybody. It, like, this offense, remember, we're now doing things differently with the way we protect. And Jalen is not going to be breaking the pocket and running right and left. We're going to be, I believe, hot routing things and sight adjusting things. And we're going to try to pick everything up. So Tyler Steen isn't at a major disadvantage in terms of learning the new stuff, learning the new protections. So that actually helps.